Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, April 20th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeola Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Blaze up, baby. 420. Today we're going to call you Blazing, not Blessing, okay?
69. Oh, Blazing.
Nice. This house is celebrating big. We got green everywhere. The eye can see, baby.
Oh,
all right.
I just realized what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hot,
I'm
man.
Thinking if green I... today. You know?
If I'm Blazing, what are we calling you? Are you Tim getting high?
Sure.
Tim getting up there.
Getting up there. That's it. Getting up. Okay. Tim, I don't know. No. Somebody like help me, please. Give me something better.
Tim, how are you celebrating this holiday?
I'm celebrating the only way I know how. I hope Cool Greg has a good day.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Let's see how that goes. Yeah, I do not partake in the reefer.
you don't partake in the devil's lettuce.
I was gonna say juice. That's definitely not what it, that's how uninformed I am in this world. I'm not against it, I'm just not for it.
Oh, yeah, you know, of course, legalize it, you know what I mean?
Just
get out there. Tim, how was your weekend?
My weekend was fantastic.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Let me tell you that. Yesterday we did this really cool thing. There's a member of the community, the nanobiologist. You probably know him on this show as an integral part of the show, getting the your wrongs in every day. He had a really cool idea to do a day at Disneyland where he would use the game Disneyland Adventures on the Xbox, where it has a one-for-one recreation of the map of Disneyland. And it's kind of like in Super Mario 64, where there's Peach's Castle, like the hub world, and then you have to jump into the paintings to get into levels. But Disneyland is the hub world, and when you get to the rides, then there's like mini games. But instead of playing the shitty ass mini games that are in the game, when we got to the rides, he would switch over to YouTube point of view videos of the actual rides at Disneyland.
Oh,
so we did a thing where it was me, Josh Silverman from the Constantly Calibrating Guys, Belinda Garcia, Alyssa, and nanobiologist himself, Mick. And we spent like 3 hours doing a stream, doing all the rides at Disneyland, watching a bunch of shows and stuff, and just kind of hanging out and pretending we were at Disneyland. And it was super rad. It was super fun. I'm actually going to get it posted on the Kind of Funny Games YouTube channel in the next couple days, so if people want to check that out.
That's awesome.
It was a pretty cool it was a cool idea, and it actually was executed really well. I'm proud of him, man. He did a good job.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I tuned in for like a good, I'd say 5 minutes, just to see how it looked and what was going on. And when I tuned in, I was surprised by how, one, everything was like very HD, but then also like the
not the one we're gonna post. It's definitely like recorded Twitch quality, but hey, what
gotcha. But yeah, like the point of view of, I don't know which ride it was. I think it was like a newish ride, like a ride that I don't even think is out yet.
The Mickey Railroad thing?
Yeah, it was like a lot of like
a couple fun. There was some fun surprises in there.
Yeah, but tuning into that, I was like, oh, snap, that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. But today, we're not talking about Disney. Today, we're talking about a new Cyberpunk Xbox, bots driving Switch shortages, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. And now it's time for some housekeeping. Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we're having a social event of the season, Grimecraft's Kinda Funny Animal Crossing Rave. That's right, Grimecraft will be DJing a set in Animal Crossing for the Kinda Funny Best Friends. You can watch live and catch Greg interviewing Grimey after the show on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. But even better, you can come to the concert in Animal Crossing. Keep an eye on Kinda Funny's Twitter Thursday afternoon, and you can find out how to visit Grimecraft's Island and get the exclusive in-game t-shirt, just like a real concert. You know, you go to a concert, you can get like the t-shirt for the band. You can do that, but in Animal Crossing, a novel new idea. Wow. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklinen and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 5 items today.
Baker!
Starting with number one, the Cyberpunk 2077 Limited Edition Xbox One has finally been unveiled. I'm pulling this from Will Tuttle at Xbox Wire, and this is a thing that's been rumored, but also, like, I think there have been images floating around.
Yeah,
kind of leaked over the last few days, but it's finally been unveiled this morning. This is from Xbox Wire. They write, fusing deep, multifaceted role-playing features with riveting action gameplay, Cyberpunk 2077 is a futuristic action adventure from CD Projekt Red, the creators of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. While we wait in anticipation for the game's release in September, today we're excited to announce a suite of custom Cyberpunk 2077 hardware, including the Xbox One X Cyberpunk 2077 Limited Edition Bundle, which will be coming in June 2020, and the Xbox Wireless Controller Cyberpunk 2077 Limited Edition, which is available today for $74.99 US dollars at select retailers, including Microsoft Store near you and online. Featuring a cybernetic design, glowing elements, bright panels, and color shift effects, the Xbox One X Cyberpunk 2077 Limited Edition console captures the vibrant grit and technical enhancements of Night City, and includes a 1 terabyte hard drive, in addition to a full digital download of Cyberpunk 2077 available when the game releases on September 17th, 2020.
Interesting.
And the Xbox Wireless Controller Cyberpunk 2077 Limited Edition. We'll be unveiling other surprises that come packed with this bundle soon. Be sure to keep an eye out for future details, as this will be the final Xbox One X Limited Edition console ever to be released. Huh. And only 45,000 units will be available in select markets. Tim, we have a picture of the controller, but yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. What's your first reaction to all of it?
My first reaction is I don't love the design of either the controller or the console, and especially not together. Too many colors for my type of taste. I'm sure that people are thrilled about it, though, because this does look like an aesthetic that I know is fairly popular with people. What I think is more interesting is a lot of the details surrounding this. Us not knowing the price, it coming out in June, months before the game comes out, it coming with the game. So this is essentially a pre-order. And them saying that there's going to be other future surprises involved in this bundle. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that means. It's probably nothing huge or, you know, groundbreaking. But them talking about 45,000, but it being the last Xbox One X limited edition console to ever be released, it's surprising they would announce something like that. That seems like news that we don't need to know the details of. So to me, that says that there's a bigger thing happening. And it kind of implies that, at least to me, that maybe Xbox One X is shorter for this world than we might have assumed before.
Yes. So I want to actually go in that direction. I pulled a tweet from Daniel Ahmad, who tweeted, I think it was a few days ago that he tweeted this, but coming off of the leaks and rumors of this limited edition bundle, Daniel Ahmad at ZugeEX on Twitter, who is like an insider and has like a lot of, like, he's part of the Nibbles and the Wario 64s. He's specifically though.
We need to come up with a name for these motherfuckers.
Yeah. We do, like the gaming squad or something like that. We'll figure it out. We'll workshop that. But he tweets, interesting that it launches in June when the game comes out in September. Maybe I'm reading into it too much, but perhaps it could be a sign that 1X production will be limited after June in favor of retooling all existing production lines to hit max capacity on Series X. Somebody then replies to him saying, there's also the lowering of Xbox One X's price, or at least huge discounts on Xbox One X, so you're probably not reading too much into it. Daniel then replies to that, saying, absolutely, One X has been on offer for $299, something Microsoft wouldn't do if there were supply issues. Seems to me the plan is to sell through all Xbox One X stock and then discontinue it before the Series X launch. Perhaps that's where Lockhart comes in too, and Lockhart, of course, being the rumored second edition console. Or not second edition console, but the console SKU. That's supposed to, second SKU, the console that would launch from Xbox alongside the Series X. Tim, how does all that strike you? Because I'm inclined to like, I think there are points being made here. I think there are actually good points being made here, and stuff that when we look at what the Lockhart would be, right? A cheaper version of the Xbox Series X, something to come out that might be. It might be digital only, or it might just have lower specs, but something that will be able to come out and be able to be cheaper than Xbox One X, or not One X, cheaper than Xbox Series X, but then likely also cheaper than the PS5 exists in that space that the One X is kind of existing in right now, I'm inclined to think he's onto something.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, this kind of goes directly against all of the assumptions that we've been making over the last year, that the Xbox One X was still going to live in this ecosystem kind of as a lower end option, even if it was in addition to the Lockhart being, you know, all digital or something even way cheaper than what we're seeing with the One X. But I can see, like, now with this information, like, every time we see these type of moves being made, it's because things are being phased out. This happens constantly on the Apple side of things with phones or iPads, you know, or MacBooks, whatever it is, any Apple product, you know that a new one's about to be announced and talked about officially once it starts getting harder to buy them in stores and the current ones, and they start doing all these deals and, you know, things like that. So
yeah,
this definitely, like, is very telling of what a future could look like. And I can imagine them at the very least getting rid of the Xbox One X as a brand. And maybe this is the final Xbox One X getting a limited edition thing, but they could take the parts of this and finagle it into being a Xbox Series whatever, you know? So I imagine that at the end of the day, we're going to have Xbox Series X and then multiple other ones. I think that by the end of the generation, there will be at least 3, if not 4 series that we come across.
By the end of the next generation.
Yes. Say.
Yeah.
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 And it's like, I don't know, like, I it's interesting that they'd be ending the Xbox One X production entirely, just because that doesn't seem like it was.
It doesn't seem in line with, well, one, like you said earlier, right, how we've been thinking about what the lead up and what, like, the mission statement and vision is for Xbox, you know, with Xbox Series X, not necessarily being a whole new generation, even though it pretty much is, but also, like, Xbox being a family of systems, right? Xbox being an ecosystem with the boxes there just to get you into the ecosystem, as opposed to, like, the mission being mainly just to sell the boxes, right? Like, it's interesting when we have the backwards compatibility conversation, right? Of, like, yeah, all your games that you're buying on Xbox One, when we have the conversation of that for the next couple years, or for the early years of the Xbox Series X, none of those games are going to be, at least the first part of games, aren't going to be exclusive to Series X, right? Like, they're making games cross-gen. Halo Infinite is going to work on One X, but then also is going to work on Series X. You imagine the same for Hellblade. You imagine the same for the big early Microsoft games. So then why would, like, that, I feel like that then conflicts with them eliminating the One X, but at the same time, maybe eliminating it is the way that they encourage people to jump forward.
Yeah, man, I love this generation right now, because it's like we're just in unforeseen territory. Like, we've never seen this type of situation before, where there's just moves being made and things being talked about in a way that we just aren't familiar with. Like, them saying this is the final limited edition thing, and it coming with a game that's 3 months, 4 months away from it. Cool. I kind of like that. Like, that's it's very forward thinking of Xbox, and that's, you know, kind of in line with how they've been the last, you know, while under Spencer's lead. So yeah, it's interesting stuff. I actually want to go back to Daniel Ahmad's Twitter. I didn't see this in the rest of the kind of funny Games Daily doc, but I noticed a couple of days ago he tweeted something that was pretty interesting. He said, with E3 canceled, a lot of the planned reveals announcements have been moved out of that single week. Some are now much earlier, some much later. Some still during E3 week, of course. The first proper next-gen console/games showcase is much earlier, too. He, of course, got a lot of people talking about this and news articles and stuff being written. So he eventually replied to himself and said, this is the one time I'll actually add a caveat for the last sentence in this case, as we're living through an unprecedented situation. This is the one time where external forces such as COVID-19 could actually change plans right at the last minute, but we'll see. So I've been thinking about this a lot of, like, hey, man, it's April 20th, man. Like, it's the
anything can happen.
It's the end of April. And we don't know the E3 plans. We know E3 is not happening. We don't know E3 week plans, but we do know that multiple of the big dogs have said they're doing digital showcases of some form. When are we going to hear about them? you know? And I feel like at some point, the situation going on right now is going to trump all of that. And we've talked about this a lot of like, why would people make announcements for things that they have no idea if they're going to be able to stick to?
Yeah.
You know? So like, there's no rush to announce things right now.
This is definitely the worst year for there to be like a console release, right? Where there are so many things to announce, but now everything's kind of up in the air. But I mean, there's a Bloomberg article that came out last week where they noted that the PS5 controller, that announcement was rushed because of COVID-19 and because of them having to get controllers to developers, right? And Sony being like, all right, well, if the controllers are already out in the wild, we should at least control the message and do that ourselves.
Super smart.
Yeah. And so like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see other announcements rushed or postponed. I mean, it's the same as Daniel Amat's tweet, right? Like, we're going to see announcements come earlier, announcements come later. And, you know, things are going to change and companies are going to adapt to what's going on. But yeah, I'm curious to see like what that means for the PlayStation reveal event along with the Xbox reveal event. See, like, I mean, Daniel Amat is saying they're going to happen earlier, like,
or at least some of them, whatever.
Yeah. But like, what does that mean? Like, how early are we talking? Are we talking like a week before E3?
I mean, that would be early, right? At this point, that's weeks away, right? Think about it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like, we are now at the point where we are a month and a half away from E3. So it's like, by next week, we're a month and a week. Like, then we're getting into like the territory of like, there's not much earlier you can go. Selfishly, I would really just want to see something. Like, I want to see some announcements and some new stuff for us to talk about. Like, I feel like it'd be real nice to have that right now. And even if a lot of the stuff changes, like, just let us know, like, what do we have to look forward to, you know? But yeah. Again, I feel like that is very selfish. And I can understand the issues with that, because while there are people that can handle that changes, there are a lot of people that can't handle changes.
Yeah,
so there's
so many factors playing. There's another tweet from a Daniel Amat. So this is the Daniel Amat episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. But there's a tweet that he put out that contextualizes a lot of what we've been talking about over the last couple of months as far as what the factors are that have been playing into game delays and how the games industry has been functioning. And he kind of divided it up into three factors, right? There is, and I'm gonna have to spit this off the top because I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he was essentially talking about the logistic factors being things like printing discs, right? Like, that's a logistic factor, that's the reason why Last of Us 2 got delayed, right? Because of one, physical sales, but then also like printing discs and stuff like that, right? That's a factor. There's also the work from home factor. A lot of companies aren't ready to work from home or weren't ready to work from home when this thing hit. And so setting up that infrastructure is going to cause things to get delayed. And I believe that was like a factor in I forget which MMO it was. It was an MMO we talked about like last week that saw some delays. It might have been like Final Fantasy 14 or something. But, you know, work from home is a factor. But then there's also administrative factors. And that's where the CIRO comes in, which is the Japanese ESRB, essentially, right? Like, that's an administrative factor that plays a factor into things shifting, you know? And there's so many things shifting and moving right now that we can't really predict how things are going to land. Like, everything's up in the air in a way that, you know, we just got to sit and see, you know, where everything lands.
Before we move on, I do want to say that everyone should follow Daniel on Twitter. He has awesome insight into the industry. It is ChugeEx, which is at ZHUGEEX, but it's pronounced Chuge.
Chuge. That's interesting. Yeah. I always pronounce it Zuge, but that's
not. It's not. He corrected me one time.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Story number two. Reseller bots are driving Switch shortages. I'm playing this from Matt Preslow at IGN, who writes, "The current shortage of Nintendo Switch consoles is being exploited and exacerbated by a number of resellers who are using auto-buying bots to quickly buy up new stock and then sell it on for hundreds of dollars or more than recommended retail prices." Motherboard recently published an investigation into the situation in which they discovered BirdBot, an open source tool that is being used to target online stores that have had new Nintendo Switch stock and quickly automatically purchase them before most other people have had a chance to notice new consoles are available. Motherboard reports that a Discord channel used by people buying and reselling Switches using BirdBot featured conversations about buying consoles in bulk, not just one-offs. In addition to online stores, people are also using tools like BrickSeek, which identify local physical stores with Switch stock, which they then buy to resell. Nintendo has stated that more Switch stock is coming soon, but this report suggests that resellers will use that to their advantage. And so buying consoles from retail may not be as easy as it otherwise has been. Quote, honestly, I can't wait till the mass restock, end quote, said one user in BirdBot Discord, reports Motherboard. Tim, that sucks.
People suck, man. It's like, yeah, man. You know, especially during these times, it's like, let other people have some joy. Have some fun in their goddamn lives, you know?
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's not as bad, but it's along the lines of the hand sanitizer dude. Like, there was a story that was floating around earlier about a dude who bought up a bunch of hand sanitizer to try and profit off of it, but then couldn't sell it, like, couldn't figure out how to sell a garage full of hand sanitizer. That is obviously worse than what this situation is, because that's more of a health, like, that's an actual, like, you know, you're messing with people's livelihoods, but this still sucks. Don't be that person. We got a question in from Jamie S, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, happy Monday, Blessing and Tim. With recent articles reporting that the current Switch shortage is largely being caused by resellers buying up available stock using bots, how concerned are you for the potential launch of next-gen consoles this year? Resellers are always somewhat of an issue, but with Sony stating they'll have a reduced number of PS5 units available at launch, could their impact be more than we've seen in years past? How difficult do you expect it to be to secure a new console pre-order this year? Thanks for rating, Jamie S.
Everyone's fucked. I mean, like, straight up, if this is happening now with Switch stock, a console that's been out, you know, freaking 3 years. Yeah, whenever a new console comes out, there's excitement around that. If there's already going to be a short supply, an even smaller supply than normal for a big launch, when there's already typically an issue of getting your hands on a console day one. I know that last gen was the best we've seen so far in video game history, where PS4 and Xbox One did a good job of kind of getting them into the hands of people that wanted them. And I remember even pre-ordering, it wasn't that difficult when they announced it, because they put up pre-orders during E3, like when they did the big blowouts for the systems. And, you know, that not everyone got one that wanted to, but I feel like it was way better than anything we've seen in the past. But I think that with everything going on now, there's no way they'll be able to keep up with the demand. There will be less people trying to buy it than normal because of the situation as well. But I think that the amount of people that are going to affect it that way are far less than the amount of people that are going to be affected not getting their hands on one that have the means to.
Yeah, I think this fall with the console releases, for PlayStation specifically, because that's what the Bloomberg report last week was talking about in terms of the shortages, I think the fact that it's going to be more expensive, and a detail that Greg mentioned when we talked about it last week, is like, as far as people with their disposable income, right? Probably people likely having less disposable income to work around with this coming fall might balance things out. Like, I can't really predict how like scalpers and people with bots are going to react to the new consoles and how that stuff is going to play a role. But I think things are going to balance themselves out. You know, like, there's a reason why Sony is manufacturing less PlayStations, right? One, more expensive, and so that's going to weigh on demand. But then also, I think with more of a with this transition between console generations seemingly being more like not as much of a hard cut as console transitions have been in the past. Like, you know, you're going to be able to play probably a bulk of launch games that are going to be on PS5 on your PS4, likely. I think with cases like that, you'll probably have next gen not be as weighed by console sales, but we'll see how available they'll be.
We'll see, man. And like, this is the thing. It's like, not to make this a console war situation, but it's like, we don't know where PlayStation's at when it comes to the cross-gen type situation of the other way of like playing, like, are the launch games going to be playable on PS4? I don't know. We don't know that. Yeah. We know that on Xbox. So in addition, when you just start adding up what we know about Xbox, like, confirmed with the fact that they're not talking about having shortages, if they come out and have no shortages, and people can't get their hands on a PlayStation, but they can get their hands on an Xbox, how many people are going to convert over there simply because of that, out of that fervor for wanting the new thing?
Yeah, just wanting the next console.
This, it could be, and this is dramatic, but this could be a shift towards Xbox for people that wouldn't have done that otherwise. And it could be an early lead for Xbox going into next gen. And that's not something that Sony can't overtake eventually. But I feel like these are very important times for both companies. And I think that both are going to be totally fine. But every decision matters. Every little choice can be the difference between somebody buying an Xbox and sales all of a sudden mattering on Xbox hardware.
Mm. We'll see, Tim. Story number three. Travis Scott is premiering his new song in Fortnite. I'm pulling this from Joe Scrabble's at IGN. Because why not? This is the world we live in now. Travis Scott will premiere a new track inside Fortnite and will become a skin in the game as part of the Icon series. Announced in a press release, the track will be premiered in astronomical, quote, a one-of-a-kind musical journey featuring Travis Scott in the world premiere of a brand new track. Astronomical is an otherworldly experience inspired by Cactus Jack's creations built from the ground up in Fortnite, end quote. Alongside the new track, expect a show based around Scott's Astroworld album. Astronomical will be a live show taking place five times from April 23rd to April 25th to allow as many people as possible to see it. Head to the still unrevealed astronomical area on the Fortnite map half an hour before showtime to ensure you get a place. As of April 21st, Travis Scott will also be made a part of Fortnite's Icon series, seeing him turn into an in-game skin. Per press release, you can, quote, get his outfits, emotes, and more starting April 21st. And if you attend any of the astronomical events, you'll score an Astroworld Cyclone glider and two loading screens for free, end quote. You can earn even more gear by completing astronomical challenges, which begin tomorrow. Tim, this is the first time in probably like half a year to a year that I've been like, all right, you got me, Fortnite. I'm going into Fortnite.
From all angles, man, and you'll love to see it. Now here's my thing. This picture that is being used, what is it? I'm a little confused what I'm looking at because he looks like an action figure.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea because I know what picture you're talking about. I imagine that's just a Travis Scott thing. I can't believe it. It's if you go to IGN's Twitter, it's there, or if you go into the article, it's probably there too.
Anyway,
but I can't. Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know.
This is gonna get you in. I'm not a Travis Scott guy, but I got it. Once again, give it up to Fortnite for being different. Let's try every single thing. Let's be as mainstream as possible and keep going with these events. And if one event's not for you, guess what? The next one's going to be. I saw that there was like X-Men going on a couple weeks ago, and it's like, cool.
Was there? I saw the Deadpool thing.
Yeah, I think it was Deadpool and X-Men. Oh. I could be wrong about that. But I just love that they're constantly doing stuff that's going to get people in. Greg always talks about, you know, whenever they do the DC shit, he's like, I guess I'm back for the bit, even if he's just buying the stuff. But guess what? That's all they want him to do. But having the trailers for movies and stuff debut in the game, like all that, it's like, cool, man. Let's use this platform as a platform to do something different that gaming hasn't seen before.
See, when I think of Fortnite, I think of family friendly, and I think of the kids. Travis Scott, I feel like, is an interesting pull because Travis Scott is a dope ass rapper, right? I don't know kids, period, but I wouldn't imagine that the kids that are playing Fortnite, I know adults play Fortnite also, but kids make up a huge part of that player base. I can't imagine the kids playing Fortnite are like big Travis Scott fans.
Like, I mean,
are there 10-year-olds out there bumping sicko mode at max volume? Like, I can't imagine it.
I'm sure there are. Like, that's the thing, is like 10 years old. Like, think about what you were listening to at 10. Like, I feel like 10 was the moment where I like transitioned from NSYNC to like Gorillaz, you know what I mean? Like, it's like it went from like, oh, here's what's being given to me, to oh, here's what I'm listening to.
I mean, that's
or like Eminem was probably a better example for a young kid listening to shit that he shouldn't be listening to,
for sure. Yeah, Travis, I don't know. There's something about Travis Scott that I feel like he occupies like a certain space that is like, because Travis Scott came out like what, 2010-ish, 2011-ish, 2012-ish, and that's when he first started getting hot. And so like having him be an artist for that long and having him kind of like, I mean, I'm not gonna say like he's past his prime or anything like that. I mean, but
Travis Scott is related to the Kardashians, right?
Fair, yeah.
That like you transcend to this thing where it's like you could have never heard a Travis Scott song in your life, but you're like, oh,
you know who Travis Scott is?
Famous, you know. And it's like that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. I this is an interesting event. I'm gonna jump in because I like some Travis Scott songs. And I just like the idea of Travis Scott doing a concert in Fortnite. I want to see what that looks like. Ricky McFly writes in and says, happy 420, y'all. I hope everyone is safe and happy. Travis Scott is making headlines this morning for being the second artist to host a big concert event in Fortnite. Will other games ever start to host pop culture events of this scale? Or is this sort of thing only possible in Fortnite because of its accessibility and popularity?
Oh, it's interesting.
I think accessibility and popularity is a big part of it. Like,
definitely
anybody being able to jump into Fortnite, whether no matter what device you're on, right? You're able to get into Fortnite on mobile, consoles, PC. Like, if you're a kid, you have a way to play Fortnite, or if you're a person in general, you have a way to play Fortnite. And so I think accessibility has a large part to do with it, because that excitement, like the excitement that is built by saying Travis Scott is in our game, people can act on that pretty easily. People can show up pretty easily.
Yeah,
so I think there's that.
There's something. There's also free to play element. Like, it's free to play and it's on everything, so it's kind of like an easier sell. Like, because here's the thing: when it comes to anything in product, it's the click through rate. It's the call to action of how many steps are there between what I'm telling you to do and what you need to do to actually accomplish that thing. How many clicks do you need to get through to actually purchase the thing? You know, the less clicks, the more likely you're going to end up actually having the thing and not bouncing out and being like, fuck this, right? You being interested in seeing a Travis Scott concert, how many steps, how many firmware updates, how many things could get in the way before you're like, eh, fuck it, this isn't worth it. And I feel like Fortnite eliminates a lot of those elements, more so than other things that you need to purchase just to start, right? Like, there is that element. So I don't know if there's just other games that have that magic sauce of being a platform where it would make sense in the game world itself to start with, being accessible to people easily, and being something that is not so weird that people are going to be turned off and not want to be a part of it in the first place.
Yeah. Right? Like, Fortnite very much is a perfect storm because of all those elements, because the social element too. Like, Fortnite is a game that people jump into just to hang out with their friends. Mm-hmm. That's like a big part of it. But then also, when you think of Fortnite in terms of Fortnite's presentation and personality, like, Fortnite is very much like a canvas. Like, there's not really a main character of Fortnite. There's not really there's not really a story, even though there kind of is a story. But like, overall, Fortnite kind of comes off as a blank slate. You know, like, let's talk about Fortnite when Battle Royale first released, right? Like, there wasn't really much there in terms of like stories or characters or like much that they were really trying to present to you, aside from, hey, you know, jump in and play Fortnite Battle Royale mode. And ever since then, they've been layering things on top of it and adding like unique skins, adding unique updates, adding events. But when you look at like you look at Thanos in Fortnite and you're like, that doesn't seem off, right? Because Fortnite is kind of that game that you can just put things in. Like, if you put Thanos in Destiny, that feels weird. If you put Marvel in Division 2, like, that feels weird. But Fortnite very much just has an aesthetic and a style that it's like Smash Brothers. Yeah, it's like Smash Brothers, where you can throw like a new character in Smash Brothers and have that thing adapt. Mm-hmm. Fortnite kind of has that same aesthetic and style going for it. I couldn't really even think of another game that, and I'm sure there is, but I can't think of another game off the top right now where like I could see all the same things that Fortnite is doing in terms of events, in terms of this Travis Scott thing, but also like the Thanos thing, but then also the Marshmello concert. I forget if Logic did a concert, but
this is not an example of exactly what we're talking about, but I feel like Fortnite has done a good adapting
For Honor,
the Ubisoft game. They've done a good job of adapting other styles and games into theirs. It's a little bit different, but I just want to give it a shout out for they do some dope stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of other servicey types of games. Like, I guess PUBG had a Birds of Prey event that they did. right? Like that's another game that feels like it could be that PUBG is blank slate-ish, even though like it has a specific like military realistic style to it.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be harder to fit in
with. Like I couldn't see Thanos in PUBG.
No.
Even though that would be like a fun bit to see. But I would like to see other games attempt this. I would like to see other games do similar events, but I don't think other games would have as easy of a time making it work as Fortnite does.
Mm-hmm.
This is malleable. Number four, we know where Jason Schreier is going. This comes from Jason's Twitter. I don't know what his exact Twitter is. At Jason Schreier, I'm guessing. I'm going to look this up to make sure. Is it at Jason Schreier?
Yeah.
Yep, at Jason Schreier. He tweets, stoked to announce that in mid-May, I'll be joining the talented, formidable tech team at Bloomberg News, where I'll be reporting on the weird, wild world of video games, business, culture, labor, delays, and lots more. This, of course, comes off of last week's news that Jason Schreier left Kotaku because of the whole Go Media business. But congratulations to Jason. I think this makes sense.
Totally.
You know, Bloomberg has been coming up a lot lately because they've been reporting a lot on reports about PS5 and its production. We'll talk more about that on PSLWXOXO today. But yeah, I think it's a great get for Bloomberg. GamesIndustry.biz, Matthew Handrahan writes this. Speaking to GamesIndustry.biz, Schreier said that he'll be joining the technology reporting team at Bloomberg. He will have some flexibility in defining his role, he said, but the game industry will continue to be his focus. That includes the investigative stories on workplace practices and labor issues that made Schreier one of the most visible and influential figures in the game's press. Schreier will also be starting a podcast with former Kotaku colleagues Kirk Hamilton and Maddie Myers under the Maximum Fun Media Network. In an interview published today, we spoke to Schreier about his decision to leave Go Media, Kotaku's parent company, which was established when the private equity firm Great Hill Partners acquired the Gizmodo Media team or media group in 2019. That was just one of a series of upheavals since Kotaku was part of Gawker Media, which collapsed in 2016. According to Schreier, there is a widespread lack of faith in Go Media's management, which culminated in a mass walkout of staff at Kotaku's sister site Deadspin late last year. Quote, it's been really tough working for a company that is run by management in whom trust has been completely eroded, he said. Our union announced a few months ago that we had taken a vote of no confidence in the CEO. 97% of the union voted to have him removed. That is not the type of thing you often see. And I think that says it all about how our company has been managed over the past year since Great Hill bought us, end quote. Tim,
right after
how do you react to all this?
Right after this, Greg Miller is going to be doing a We Have Cool Friends episode, a one-on-one interview with Jason Schreier, and I'm sure they're going to get into all the nitty-gritty about all of this. I think it's about time that he gets out of Kotaku. All the stuff that he said, not a surprise to anybody that is aware of him in any way at all. He does great work. He's going to continue to do great work. I think that Bloomberg's a great place for him to do that work, and I'm very excited to see how it all goes.
In our last story, story number five, there's seemingly new concept art for the PS4 exclusive Wild. Tim, do you remember Wild?
I do.
Yeah. It's a game that was premiered in 2014. I'll get into this article from Heather Wald at GamesRadar, who writes, concept art for the mysterious PS4 exclusive game Wild has seemingly appeared on its official website. While these might not necessarily be entirely new images of the open world adventure, its appearance on Reddit is a good reminder that the game is still a thing, and at the very least suggests the game is still happening after years of very little news. It's been very quiet on the Wild front since Wild Sheep Studio debuted a trailer at Gamescom back in 2014. A year later, we got a gameplay demo 2015, but it's been relatively elusive since then. From checking the website in the Wayback Machine archive, it does seem as though it was recently updated, but these concept art images may have been on the website for quite some time. Regardless, they show off some impressive vistas, animals, and shamanic-like figures. You can check them out all out here. From Rayman creator and Beyond Good and Evil designer Michael Ancel, Wild is set in a, quote, lush, expansive world where you'll learn to adapt to the ever-changing world around you whilst uncovering the secrets of the land, end quote. The website has also featured some job listings, which, again, reiterates the game is still being worked on. Interestingly, it's also still got a listing on PlayStation's official site too. While we're still while we're still not likely to learn about the game for some time, with the PS5 on the horizon, maybe we'll find a home on the next gen console.
These images look great. I feel like some of them look very familiar. I'm pulling them up now. The character models look dope. Like their little ghillie suits they're wearing with like skull masks. Super cool. Then face like the guy next to a giant bear, like a bear that looks like it's like 10 times bigger than it should be. Like very cool stuff. I don't buy it. I feel like this game is 80% not happening.
Really? And,
I think that there's a 20% chance that we'll end up seeing it on next gen consoles. I don't think we'll see it on this gen console at all.
That's my thing too, is I think if it happens, it'll have to have some sort of re-reveal and announcement for next gen. Like, I think, I mean, after 5 years of not hearing anything, you have to imagine that they must have scrapped the whole thing and restarted again, or they scrapped it and are still in the stages of trying to figure out what it is. Like, the fact that it's on PlayStation's website still tells me that it's a thing that is probably still happening. The idea that they've updated the website tells me it's a thing that they're thinking about, or that is probably going to happen in some way, but I think it's going to be an entirely different game than we saw in 2014 when they originally revealed it.
I guess my thing is, everything that we just heard here feels like non-news. Like the website updates and this, and it's like the chances of that being because that this game is real and being worked on is equal to, oh, we were just updating a bunch of different website things and it looked like it got updated in this way or that way, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, I'm not saying this isn't real. I just think that this isn't enough evidence for me to believe that this game still exists and that it's happening.
I'm with you.
But it looks cool though. I'd be stoked to see a re-reveal of it.
I'd be interested to see a re-reveal of it. Like, I watched the trailer this morning just to get a reminder of what it looked like. And it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, I remember watching this trailer, but I feel like ever since they announced this game, there have been 10 games that look exactly like it that have also been, like, you know, the conversation we keep having about like Xbox exclusive games recently and how they kind of look Breath of the Wild-ish and like they have that kind of cartoon, like 3D cartoon style.
Breath of the Mild is what I've been calling it.
Breath of the Mild. Yeah, style. I feel like Wild has some Breath of the Mild energy, even though it was announced before Breath of the Wild was released. But then you also look at game like similar survival out in the wild type games like Ancestors and in other similar games. And I find it hard to be excited about what Wild could be. But I think a retool or just like a scrapping of the idea and redoing it from the ground up and re-reveal of it for PS5 could do wonders. But yeah, like, who knows if that's going to happen?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
And we'll see, Tim. But that'll be so far away. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games show host each and every weekday.
Before I get to out today, I want to tell you guys about our sponsors. Of course, you can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. Bringing comfort into your home is the ultimate form of self-care, and now more than ever, it's important to take care of yourself and each other. You spend one-third of your life in your sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? So put comfort first, like with the new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooklinen's got over 50,000 plus 5-star reviews and counting. And starting April 25th, Brooklinen's having their biggest sale yet, the birthday sale. Get everything from bedding to towels to loungewear and more at savings you wouldn't believe. Brooklinen products help you find comfort in the little things, morning routines, extra soft sheets, plush towels, etc. Folks here at Kind of Funny use Brooklinen and can confirm they're insanely comfortable. Isn't that right, Tim?
I do. I use it every day, man. It's fantastic. I love it. It's so soft. I recently got a new set that we've been changing out. So now we have different options depending on our vibe for what colorways we want. They make it fun and easy to go and find a bunch of different styles with the colors that you want to match your room, to match your vibes, man. If you want to go all green, you can.
You can. You like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax? Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to find all the comforts for your home. And they're so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The birthday sale kicks off April 25th, and you don't want to miss it. Get their biggest savings of the year on sheets, bedding, towels, loungewear, and their newest hammam and linen collections. And if you can't wait, you can get 10% off your first order and free shipping on the all new sheet. Oh, there's a pun. Get free shipping on all the new sheet right now when you use promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. That's BROKLINEN.com. That pun caught me way off guard. I was like, I don't know what they're trying to tell me right here, but we figured it out. We're also brought to you by ExpressVPN. We all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. What if you could spend this whole week binging Doctor Who on UK Netflix? Well, it's so simple to do. Just fire up ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so just think about the Netflix libraries you can have access to. Love anime? You can use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. That's Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason we suggest ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast, there's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD, no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media, consoles, smart TVs, and more, so you can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit the special link right now at expressvpn.com/games, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/games. Out today, OMG Police Car Chase TV Simulator is out for Switch. Legends of Amberlind, The Forgotten Crown for Switch. Shadows for Switch. Car Trader Simulator for Switch. And I love that rhymed. Warp Factor for PC and Mac. Birds Are Real for PC and Mac. Kingdom versus Zombies for PC and Mac. Square Fast for PC and Mac, O Frog for PC, Cryptofall Investor Simulator for PC and Mac, and Glarefall for PC. Hold, we have a deal of the day for you.
We got Birds Are Real and O Frog. Look at those in your own time.
So it's a big release day. This is comparable to the day that Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Mario Odyssey. Oh no, Assassin's Creed Origins, Mario Odyssey released on the same day. You know, and to the new Colossus. It's that kind of release day. That's the day. Ignacio Rojas writes in with a deal of the day for you. Kingdom Hearts all-in-one package is down from $99.99 to $29.99. That's over 200 hours of great content. So check that out.
200 hours of content for sure.
Of content, yeah, for sure. Great might be debatable for some.
That is a great deal, though. Real talk. That's
insane. Tim, now it's time for reader mail. People can, of course, write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get their questions read on the show, just like the 2038 Pokemon CEO who writes in and says, "Hey, Blessing and Tim, I hope quarantine is treating you well." It's treating me. With the incoming release of the next generation consoles, when do you think the PS4 and Xbox One will receive a permanent price cut? I would love to pick up a PS4, meaning Pro, with all my extra free time, but don't want to pay full price so close to the next consoles. I'm considering buying used, but heard Tim talk about the fan of his PS4 Pro console. Is this because it's been used more, or are even new Pros this loud? Any advice?
Look, I know I'm going to open myself up to a lot of people being like, not me. In my experience, I've been around at least 50 PS4s, whether they're normal or pro, and all of them have been loud. All of them. No exceptions. Not a single exception. I don't know about permanent price cuts. I feel like what we just talked about earlier in the episode with the Xbox One X stuff, like we're going to start seeing a lot of deals coming forth. That console, the Cyberpunk console, like it seems like they're trying to get rid of the Xbox One X inventory, but then bundling with Cyberpunk means it's not going to be that much cheaper. So I don't know if we're going to see a price cut with that, because at the very least it would just be the same price, but you're also getting the game. With the PlayStation side, I don't know. Everything's so up in the air that we just don't know where they're going to be at. If you're not planning on buying a PS5 at all, get a PS4 now. There's a ton of games for you to play, like, especially during these times. Like, today is the 2-year anniversary of God of War. If you don't have a PlayStation, you should play that game.
That was two years ago? Jesus.
2 years ago today. Yeah.
It feels like yesterday.
You should play Spider-Man. You should play Horizon. You should play all these games. So I do think it'd be worth it. PlayStation 4 is not that expensive. Having said that, if I were you, I would probably wait for the PS5.
Yeah, the PS5 is going to be a good investment because it's going to be backwards compatible. And so you'll be able to play like God of War and Spider-Man and all the big PlayStation games on there. I'd also say if you're going to buy a new console, don't go the used route. I've bought like refurbished consoles in the past and they've always crapped out on me. Like my PS3 that I bought got the yellow light of death because I bought it refurbished. And so like it only lasted maybe like 2 years until... You know, it died. I was gonna say kill itself, but I was like, that seems like a lot. But yeah, like get a new console if you're gonna buy a console. Black Friday is always kind of my go-to. You know, if you're ever gonna buy like a big new piece of technology, but at this point, Black Friday is still so far away. And so if I want to know what deal I can get today, but no, like go for it, like it or. Or just see how you're feeling. Like if you really want to play PlayStation games right now, and you don't have the fervor to buy the PS5 when it comes out this fall, then do your thing. Definitely do your thing. But that fan is gonna go no matter what you get. That fan is gonna be loud. Just prepare for it, Tim. Yeah. Usually, this is where we squat up, mm-hmm. but. Nobody wrote in with squad up. Of course, if you want to squad up, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get your squad up read. That's where you get to play games with other members of the Kind of Funny community, have a good time, get some Division 2 in, get some Borderlands in, do all that good mm-hmm. stuff. But since we don't have a squad up today, let's go directly to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong where people write in to let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. And let's see here. Yosemite said, Josh and Justin of Constantly Calibrating have rebranded the platform and are relaunching under the name Bear Punch Media. So there you go.
There you go.
Let's see. Neil Bajer writes in and says, Amazon's MMO New World and Final Fantasy XIV's patch 5.3 were both delayed due to COVID-19, which is what I was referencing earlier. Let's see. Let's see. Somebody's saying something about X-Force. Oh, the Fortnite thing was X-Force, which is Deadpool, Cable, Domino, and Psylocke.
Cool.
Prof D277 says Blessing said PUBG had a Birds of Prey event. It was in fact Fortnite that had the Birds of Prey event. PUBG did a Suicide Squad crossover event.
Makes sense. Damn, that was a long ass time ago. But that makes sense for PUBG.
And that's about it for You're Wrong. This week's hosts are as follows. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, it's me and Greg. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. We might be doing a top 10 of the superhero games of the last forever. Yeah, okay. We might be doing. Okay. Let me just advertise this, right? Sometimes, like usually for the Kind of Funny Games Daily Post show, we pull a question and we answer that question. Sometimes, every now and then, what I like to do is I like to look up an article of a top 10 or top 20 or top 30 and just go through it with Tim. It's a fun time.
It's my favorite thing to do.
I've been enjoying it too, which is why I keep doing it. If you want access to that, stick around for the post show. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Blaze up, baby.